Right. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Yes. Good to see everyone. Listen, we want to take just a moment, welcome everyone watching by internet or TV. A count of three, welcome them. One, two, three. Welcome. Welcome. So glad that you're watching with us today. Listen, take your Bible and hold them up and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Hey, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Woo. We're going to be in a great book of the Bible written by Paul. And as we look at this new year, 2016, I just want to set some precedents of what God can do in your life. And maybe it has been a difficult 2015 for you, but I want us to take a look at what we can do. If it's been difficult in 2015, how can I look at 2016 through a different pair of glasses, so to speak? And I want to take just a moment and look at Paul's life and see the struggles that he had, but also point out some great things in Scripture that he gave us to see, hey, maybe we need to not look at our circumstances, but look to God in 2016 and see what he can do in our lives. Let me just share just a little bit about Paul's life, and some of you may know his struggle, but some of you may not know his struggle. When you look at his life, you can see that he had some difficult times. I would say snake bitten's a pretty difficult time. How about you? Shipwrecked three times. I mean, basically, he lived through the Titanic experience three times and survived. Hello, pretty good guy, right? He was flogged 195 times. He knew what it was to be hungry and thirsty, to be naked and to be cold. He knew all of these things that were difficult, yet when you look into the Word of God, when you look into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you will see that he leaves us with these words. He says this, I am struck down, but I am not destroyed. Man, isn't that a great promise? That everything that he went through, he looked at it and said, you know what? I might be down, but I'm surely not out. I love that. If you go into the book of Philippians, 6 years after he wrote 2 Corinthians, he says these words. He says this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul was that kind of guy where he just kept pressing on. He knew what it was to go through difficult times, but he also knew what it meant to just press on through the difficult stuff. Man, don't we need that today? To understand what it means, how do we do that? That's the difficult thing, is how do we do that? So we're going to take some of his experience and learn. Now, I'm going to mention just a few things like a vessel and jars of clay and different things like that. And I want you to understand kind of what this means. If you go back into ancient times and you begin to study like earthen vessels and pottery and clay, that those were used in homes back then, and they were easily kind of discarded because they were just kind of normal, typical jars and clay all mixed together, but they were just easily broken. They weren't fancy at all. I like that word, fancy. They weren't fancy at all, but they were just kind of easily came by. Everyone had them in their house. People might put money in there. They might put some of their treasures in there, but the actual vessel was kind of worthless. But what was worth something, what that was in the vessel, that was kind of the treasure. So when I mention vessel, that's you and I. When I mention treasure, that is the gospel. Now let me read this verse in 2 Corinthians, verses chapter 4. And with that in mind, listen to what it says. Here's what it says. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now let me change just a couple words so you can look to see how that maybe more applies to your life. Listen to this. But we have this gospel in our life to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Then it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down and not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Amen. That's what he said. Now, as you can see, Paul went through some very difficult times. That's how he explained his life. I'm hard-pressed. I'm perplexed. All those different things. But he said this. Things are different because of the gospel, because of that stuff that was on inside of me, Jesus, right? The gospel, I was able to overcome anything that came my way. So often we get to that place where the difficult times come and we want to surrender and we want to cave in because we don't realize the power that's inside of us, right? And so we got to learn to move forward in that and learn to understand what that means. Now, I love the idea that these vessels that Paul is talking about, that it is worth something, that it means something. I had an uncle at one time that he would get money and he would take a jar and he would take all of his money, put it in a jar, go out to his backyard and bury his jar of money in his backyard. And so as we were talking one day about this, I said, Uncle George, I said, like, how much money are we talking that you would put in your jar and bury it in the backyard? Did you tell anyone? And he kind of smiled. He says, no, I didn't tell anyone. I was like, well, what if something happened to you? I said, what's the most you ever put in a jar and buried in the backyard? He says, about $18,000. I'm like, what? You're crazy. And so he would do that. I said, why don't you put your money in banks and different things? And he just said, I just want to make sure it's close by me. Now, how many of you remember when you were kids that you would take your coins and you would put it in these jars, right? And they were the ones that you could easily break. And at the end of filling it up, you could like smash it and all this money would come out. Just me. Okay, two of us maybe. All right. Wasn't that so much fun? Is that what was inside, that was the most important part, right? I hope. Maybe back then it was like, oh man, the cute bear, we're going to smash it. No, it's the money on the inside. That was what was worth so much, and that's what we're looking at today. Now, here's the incredible part about God. Here's what God does. God has chosen earthen vessels, that's you and I, not angels or celestial beings or anything like that, to accomplish his work. Men and women that are frail, weak, imperfect, unimpressive, he's chosen you and I. And this vessel is not allowed to be broken until it has done its work. In other words, God has looked at your life and he says, you know what? You're a vessel that is worth something. And puts great value on all that he says, hey. And when he looks at your life, he says, yeah, I've got great interest. I've got a great inheritance right there in you. But it's also what's on the inside that's important to him of your life. Now, I remember years ago, my wife and I were youth pastors and we were living in a parsonage. And a parsonage was a house that was right there on the campus of the church, and we lived in one. They had two of them. We lived in the smaller one, and the larger one opened up, and we were going to be able to move from the smaller one to the larger one, which we were very excited about that. The one that we lived in was called The Box. We called it affectionately The Box. It was a small place. We were beginning to have kids, and so we had this opportunity to move. And how many of you know this? Moving is just horrible. And whether you move like, literally, you could throw a rock to the house that we were going to move to, and whether you move 500 miles or 50 feet, you're still moving furniture. So I remember loading all of this stuff on a trailer and all those things, and I remember this box over here was a square box. It looked like it was loaded pretty good, and I grabbed the box, and when I grabbed the box, I began to move, and I thought, man, this is heavy. I don't know about the bottom on this thing, and all of a sudden, out comes from the bottom all of these dishes. Yeah, that's what I thought too. It wasn't just dishes. What I didn't realize that these dishes were my wife, Rachel, sitting on the front row. Thank God she's still on the front row today. Were her grandmother's dishes that would have been handed down. And not only that, my wife told me that as a young girl, as she was at her grandmother's house, they would go by, and as these dishes were displayed, and this is one of those right here that survived, thank God it survived, she would say to Rachel, honey, one day these are going to be yours, and I'm going to give this to you. And it was an inheritance. She was the only granddaughter. And it meant so much to her to get these dishes. And here I was, I had dropped a lot of them and crushed them and broke them. Now here's the thing about a dish. That dishware that was important like this, that when God looks at our life, he says this, I want to fill you up, I want to pour you out, and occasionally our lives are shaken. Right? But here's what happens as God begins to do this, is attach value. My wife, her grandmother attached incredible value to this because it was an inheritance from a grandma to her and probably eventually to our kids someday. So it's worth so much more than going to Walmart, grabbing a bunch of dishes and saying, hey, here they are, right? They're somewhat irreplaceable. You are irreplaceable. God has put so much value on your life, and we are to be filled, we are to be poured out. Listen to what 2 Timothy 4:6 says. Is Paul, right on his deathbed, it says this, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Sometimes our lives are shaken. Listen to John Bevere in the Bait of Satan. He says this, as sure as the seasons come and go, we can be certain that we will experience seasons of shaking in our lives. These are God-ordained times of testing designed to shake out every quality in our character that is contrary to the character of Christ. Satan means it for destruction, but watch this. God intends it for our constructions. The contents, the gospel, must change the vessel, not the vessel to change what? The contents that's on the inside. And so Paul, what he does to show that he is, that God's power is at work in a great way, he brings out these four crisis situations to show, hey, though the vessel may break, maybe the vessel's going to be broken and you can't take the pressure. Listen, it is the power of Christ that's on the inside of you that's going to make your life, your vessel, stand up against the greatest pressure in all the world. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you those four crisis situations very quickly. So I need you to say this. I believe, that's right. Number one, I believe stress will not defeat me in 2016. I'm going to believe it. Verse 8 says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. That word hard-pressed means this, squeezed or a pressed. It means that there's all these things from the outside coming in. Stress defined literally means the adverse reaction people have to excessive pressure. Finish this sentence for me. When the going gets tough, the tough... No, go shopping. Come on, get that right. Most of the time, right? And all the ladies said... Amen. That's right. Now think about a typical week in your life. What happens in a typical week? If you have young kids, what begins to happen is that you're up early in the morning, crack of dawn, 5:36, you're up making breakfast, you roll out of bed, halfway out of bed. I mean, you're brushing your teeth, you're kind of getting ready. You may shower once every 3 days. I don't know. You get the kids ready, you get them off to school, and about 8:30, by 8:30, you are wiped out. And then you've got to wash dishes, you got to clean, you got to do all these things, you got to do just a numerous amount of tasks every day, and whether you're working or you're stay-at-home mom or doing both or whatever it may be, you're exhausted. And all of a sudden you find yourself stressed to the max, and you don't know what to do. Now let me just kind of step out of those stressed events in your life and just gonna give you some facts. Did you know this? Proven. 40% of all women have hurled a shoe at a man. Just saying. If you yelled 8 years, 7 months, and 6 hours, you would produce enough sound energy to produce a cup of coffee. How many's made about a pot already? Okay, just check it. Banging your head against the wall will produce about 150 calories or burn about 150 calories. If you're stressed out, some of the stress facts that you can look up and you can find that most people, about 76% of people are stressed out because of money. 70% are stressed out because of work. People are stressed out. Retirees are the least stressed in America. That's when you say amen if you're retired. At that point, don't know if you're retired, but that's when you say. Did you know this? That the most stressed out city is Los Angeles. Just going to throw that out there. Every week, 95 million people, because they are so stressed out, will turn to some form of medication to medicate themselves because they're stressed out. And it's estimated that for a business, we'll lose productivity because so many people are stressed in the workplace, they lose approximately $200 to $300 billion a year. Man, I'm stressed just giving you these statistics. When you feel stressed, I wanted to remind you of a couple things. Number one is give your stress, your troubles to Christ. You say, that's so simple. It is, but we never do it, right? 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. It's simply saying, God, I'm so stressed out. What do? You say, hey, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. Could you help me carry this? And he carries it. The second thing you can do is expect his comfort. He is a God of all comfort. Listen to 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And don't let stress get to you. Number two is this. Say, I believe. I believe for 2016, complications will not discourage me. Verse 8 says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. What does that word mean? It literally means being at a loss. If you're perplexed, I'm at a loss. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And you come up against these difficult times in your life, and you don't know what to do. You are perplexed. And a lot of times we look at our life and we say this, you know what? Things didn't go like I thought they would. I had planned so well that my life would be this, this, and this, and it didn't turn out that way. Think about this. When you wanted to have kids, you imagined yourself bathing that child never doing, I mean, being the perfect child. And now you have teenagers. You did not realize that when you began to raise these kids were going to pee and poop and make noises and never sleep at night. And you come in, all of a sudden bags begin to form under your eyes. You have a lot more gray hair now, right? And all of a sudden in your life, you realize this also. You're 50, you're 60 years old. You're brushing off your suit because now you have to go to a job interview because you've lost your job. You never planned for that. You never expected that. You're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you're sick. You found out that you've got cancer. You've got some kind of disease that you can't work through. And all of a sudden, you're stressed out. You're perplexed. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. Listen, we all have those moments. We all have those times. Listen to what Romans 8:26 says, because there will be a time in your life that maybe you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. Listen to these words. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Thank God for the Spirit of God living in us, amen? For helping us. There are moments when the pressure is so great that you are just worn out, you are torn apart, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do. I want you to remember this. When you are confused, Jesus is not confused. He is not a God of confusion. He knows exactly what to do, what to say, how to help. And He is a God of all comfort that's there to help you in time of need. Amen? Number three is this. Say, I believe. I believe, number three, that conflict will not frighten me in 2016. Verse 9 says, we are persecuted but not abandoned. What does it mean to be persecuted? Well, if you look at the Greek word, it literally means to pursue, as a hunter pursues his game. Paul knew what it was like to be pursued. You and I know what it's really like to be pursued. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 7:5 says. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. How many of you ever feel like you're harassed at every turn? And then he says this, and I love this, conflicts on the outside, fears within. Conflicts on the outside and fears within. And Paul knew what persecution was from personal experience. Everywhere he went, his Jewish opponents, they followed him. They stayed on his trail, attacking his words, his character, mocking his message. He knew exactly what it was to have trouble on the outside of the church and on the inside of the church. And they never gave him a moment's rest. You see, the devil always fights a church that's on the move. And guess what? You're the church. And if there's difficult things happening in your life and things are, and you don't understand, you're perplexed, you're stressed out, good news is, man, the enemy's attacking you. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. Satan never kicks a dead horse. You're alive. You're doing great things. That may be why the enemy is so after you and you think, man, I am stressed, I am perplexed. Well, maybe there's something good out of that. Look at the early church in Acts chapter 2. We read this, that 3,000 people were converted. Then what happened? Well, you go to Acts chapter 4, and all of a sudden this. It's Peter and John, they're preaching, they're sharing, and all of a sudden they didn't like that. The Sadducees, the captain of the guard, they didn't like it, so they're thrown in prison. People from the outside trying to attack them. Then chapter 5 of Acts, it's Ananias and Sapphira. They were told to do this, sell all your possessions, all your belongings, and give to each one as they had need. And so they sold a piece of property. They kept a little bit of that money. What happens? Ananias, dead. All of a sudden, pollution, trying to lie in hypocrisy on the inside of the church. You go to Acts chapter 6. It's the Hebraic Jews and the Grecian Jews. They're all upset because the widows aren't being treated right. And now all of a sudden you have this bickering inside. You go to Acts chapter 8 and 12, and all of a sudden you have the stoning of Stephen. You have the death of James. You have all this, what, killing that is going on. But all of a sudden you begin to realize that the church is still moving forward. God is doing great things. Yet there is difficulty right in the middle of the church growing. You're the church. And guess what? We're going to have difficulty along the way, but there is something inside of us. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to overcome anything and everything that I walk through. Amen? And he helps us in our time of need. And that is the great thing as we turn to him. As believers, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus even said in his own words, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. All of a sudden we realize Jesus is persecuted, the early church is persecuted, and guess what? Believers today, we are persecuted. What we have to understand and believe and understand as believers is that we are not going to be necessarily delivered from persecution, but we're going to have victory and triumph through persecution. He's going to help us through it. And sometimes he doesn't always deliver us from it, but we know this, greater is he that is on the inside of me than he that is in the world. You're going to make it through 2016. You don't have to be stressed out, live in complication, and have conflicts. God is going to help you. Do you believe that, church? Amen. Bob Jones Sr. was fond of saying this, the door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. The door of opportunity. You need to look for your opportunity. Number four, say with me, I believe. I believe, number four, setbacks will not destroy me. I think this sometimes. Maybe your setback is a setup for a great comeback. Right? Struck down means to be cast down. J.B. Phillips once said this. He offers this memorable phrase. He says, we may be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. You may be down, but listen, you are not out. God wants to help you, and all you have to do is reach up and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm going to quote Mike Tyson. I don't think I've ever quoted Mike Tyson. But he says this, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I love that, don't you? How many's ever been punched in the mouth? Yeah, you've been. Yeah, unexpectedly. Sometimes you see the blow coming, and sometimes you turn your head and whop, it's right there. And when we talk about this struck down, that term refers to a sudden emergency, the unforeseen incident, that late night phone call, the crisis that seems to come out of nowhere, that catastrophe that overwhelms us and we don't know what to do. That's life. That's reality. We live between the good and the bad. It's not always good and it doesn't always have to be bad. We can make a choice to make a difference in this life that God has called us to. And let me tell you this, whoever maybe you went to give your life to the Lord and they said, listen, the red carpet's going to be rolled out and you're going to have a perfect life. You need to go find that person and say, you weren't telling me the truth. Because life is difficult. But listen, we have something on the inside of us, the gospel, that's going to make all the difference in the world. Amen? So when you find yourself knocked down, I want you to remember a couple things. Number one, there is victory in Christ. There's always victory in Christ. There's victory through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58 says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor is not in vain. Too many people, they view Christianity like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World. That you're sitting in this little boat, working your way through this little ride, and all of a sudden you see pirates coming at you with these swords. They get close, but they never harm you, right? They never get close. You know that, and what seems like, oh no, something bad's going to happen, doesn't ever happen. Listen, that's called a thrill ride. Life is not a thrill ride because sometimes you do get punched in the mouth. That's reality. That is life. Paul's view of victory means, yes, I face trouble every day. I sometimes find myself in despair. I'm under pressure all the time. I get confused. People attack me. Sometimes I get knocked down by life, but that's when the power of Christ shows up. What we need to do is to let the power of Christ show up in our life and recognize it within our own life and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. And I will have victory. I will have victory through the trouble, not victory apart from the trouble. So when you find yourself knocked down, here's the second thing you can do. Run to the cross. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that's going to make all the difference in your life. Hebrews 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endure the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that, I like that, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we need to look and see what Christ went through for us. Flogged 39 times, crowns upon his brow. Died, rose again after 3 days. Look at everything that he did to help us, to save us, to be with us, so that we could have life. We've got to look at it. You can't forget everything that he did. I remember years ago having a Sunday night testimony times. Anybody remember that? And people would get up and stand up and share what God was doing in their life. And I remember this one particular lady, Sister Adams. Sister Adams would stand up and she would say kind of with a weak voice, the devil almost got me this week. And so as a kid, I didn't understand that statement real well. I didn't know if she meant, A, that she is such a warrior for Christ that she is fighting literally at the gates of hell, saving people and saying, I saved 4 this week, but the devil almost got me. I thought, man, she is something to behold. Or is it that she doubted and was hard-pressed, perplexed, didn't understand everything that was going on in her life, doubted the power of Christ, and she was struggling and just realizing, listen, that's just my life. Every day she thinks the devil's going to get her. Now here's what is troubling to me, and this is where I have righteous anger kind of rises up within me. Don't you, it disappoints me, and I hate it when it seems like the devil has taken people And do you know, when you go to a fair and you can win a prize, I call it this bat that you can blow up. It has air in it. It's about this long, and it's massive. And people will win this at the fair, and it's soft, and kids will run around with it, and they'll kind of beat each other with it. Have you ever seen that? But it's so soft, it doesn't make any difference. I see the enemy sitting there pounding that bat over us all the time. Like a Sister Adams. And we look at those circumstances and we don't realize that there's power within us to make a difference and we can do things differently. And wouldn't you like to do this? Wouldn't you like to take the bat out of the devil's hand and begin to use it on him for once? And start, instead of you getting walloped all the time, why don't you take it and start hitting him? And you know what? You do that when you recognize the power that is within you. I am knocked down, but I am not destroyed. I'm hard pressed, but listen, man, I'm going to make it in 2016. I'm not going to let the enemy beat me over the head with all the stress, the complications, the conflicts, and the setbacks. My life will be different in 2016. Don't let him have the bat. You take it out of his hand. So here's what we learn. We learn this. When we are at our worst, God is at his best. When we are down, he is up. When we are at rock bottom, man, God begins to work. It's true. Look at the record. He does this. He fixes broken hearts. He fixes broken hopes. He fixes broken homes. And he fixes broken health. He wants to help us today. Now, I love this scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and this is my last scripture today. And it simply says this, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us today. You need to give him access so he can do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask. Don't shut him off. Allow him to work in your life. You are that vessel. Allow him to fill you up, to pour you out, and maybe shake you just a little bit. So he can do great things in your life. Because what? You are worth something to him. Amen? Would you close your eyes today? I want to just send out a challenge to you today. I want to pray for you, but I also want to just take a moment to see where you're at with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord and you could say, you know what, that is me. You describe my life. I am hard-pressed on every side. I'm perplexed. I feel knocked down. I know that there's trouble within my life, but I need to turn to the Lord. I want to follow him. I want to do it his way. And by simply saying, you know what, I want to follow Christ. I want to do it his way. I believe the Lord wants to do something great in your life. It's giving your life to him. The Bible says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you go to Romans chapter 6, it says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will confess with your mouth that he is the Lord, believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, get this, you shall be saved, it says in his word. And so if you need the Lord, if you want to say yes to him, can I encourage you right now to just raise your hand wherever you're at and say, yes, I want to know Jesus today. Wherever you're at, thank you. I see that hand. Yes. Anybody else? Anyone else? Just raise it real high so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. As you're just obeying Christ, anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Thank you, young man. Anyone else? I see the hand way in the back. Thank you. My second call goes out to those of you who are struggling, and you could say this, you know what? You describe my life to a T. I am stressed out. I am perplexed. All those things are going on in my life. I'm a believer in the Lord, but I did not realize that I can look to the power of Christ that's within me. But you know what? I want to have a different 2016. You could say, that's me. Would you please just remember me in your prayer? as I prayed this morning. Would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? God sees your hand as well. He understands what you're going through. He is a God of love, encouragement, and He is going to help you in and through life. Could I ask everyone to stand together today? Every one of you in this room, please stand. We're going to pray, and the first prayer that we're going to pray is I want everyone to repeat this after me. There's some that gave their life to the Lord, and it is just a prayer that says, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, be the Lord of my life. And we're going to pray that together. And as soon as we're done there, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will help you, strengthen you, help you in the difficult things that you're going through right now. And I believe He will, amen? I believe He will. Would you repeat after me? Dear Lord, I come before You today, a sinner in need of Your grace. And I confess today my sin. And I want You, Lord, to come into my life. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I'm through doing it my way. I want to do it Your way. I want to follow You with my whole life. You are the priority right now. I give my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I just thank You today for Your love and Your goodness for everyone that is here today, watching by the way of internet or on TV. And I pray, God, that You would begin to help them through the stressful times of life, through the difficult times of life, through the things that they are perplexed, they do not understand. They don't know which way to go, what to do, what to say. But Lord, we know that You have all the answers. If we will look to You on the inside and see, God, that greater is He that is within us than he that's within the world, God, we will know and understand that You can do great things in us. Help us recognize that we're going to believe. I believe that this year, that these complications are not going to discourage me, that the setbacks will not destroy me, that the stress is not going to defeat me. But God, I'm going to look to You and say, Lord, I need Your help. I need Your strength. And I pray, Lord, that You would come in, help us recognize all that You can do. We know You are all-powerful, almighty. You can do immeasurably more than any of us could ever do or say or think. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God praise today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, I just want to say this, that immediately after this service, there's going to be altar workers right down here. You can actually make your way right now. And if you need more prayer, if you want to connect with someone in a greater way, we want you to connect to these altar workers. They're going to help you. They're going to pray for you. And if you gave your life to the Lord today, man, great job. Awesome. Thanks for making that decision. Right behind those cameras is an area that you can go to, and they're going to pray with you. They're going to show you in the Word the decision that you made and what you can take is that next step in following Him. I pray that you go in His grace, go in His peace. We'll see you next week.